again next week, chapter 14. Craig will have that next week. Chapter 14, questions 1, 2, 6, and 7. And again, read the whole chapter, and then you can go back and kind of highlight the answers for those, which is we'll be focusing on those primary topics there. Again, for ours, God the Son, His coming with His saints. Remember, last week we were for His saints. Now we're with His saints. Again, the difference between the rapture and the second coming. As it shows here, we have a couple different ones that will address different issues with His second coming, which here are in chapter 44. We'll touch on some of these today. Events preceding the second coming of Christ, and then the Great Tribulation, and then the second coming of Christ. Those are chapters 44, 45, and 46. Again, looking at what we had before, this graph kind of shows the whole progression of how God is working from creation to the end of the millennial kingdom. Again, kind of going through, we've seen this before, is the creation, is pre-existence before that creation, His incarnation, the substitutionary death, we have His resurrection, His then ascension, a little bit after that is Pentecost. That is the beginning of the church age, when we have the indwelling. And then we come to the rapture, which is shown up here. And that's where He's coming for His saints. Does He touch down at that time?
No.
He does not. No, He doesn't. He ends up in the clouds, shout the last trumpet. Did you look at that at all, Mike? I didn't look at that. Was that the last trumpet? I think maybe that was it. It's the last one we'll hear. Is the trumpet and those verses about His rapture and the last trumpet. That's the last trumpet that we'll hear. And then there's the seven years of tribulation. I'll go over some of those things that go on in the tribulation, which the 3.5 years of peace and wonder, and then 3.5 years of terrible trials, culminating with Armageddon. And then at the end of the 7 year, we come back with the Lord to rule and reign for 1,000 years, and that's the kingdom. And then there's new earth, new heaven, new earth, all that starts at the end of the millennial kingdom. Down here. Okay, facts about His second coming. Now I have my notes here. He won't set foot on the earth during the rapture, but when He returns with His saints, will He touch ground? Yes. Yes. He comes and verses on that. I want to touch on something else now. What needs to happen before the rapture?
Nothing? Jerusalem needs to be restored to the temple.
Well, the currency, right? I think has to
currency, you think?
Go to global currency. Wasn't that one of the ones?
What else? Currency? Global currency?
I think you've been saying that nothing has to happen, but I guess people think the temple has to be rebuilt and all sorts of things.
Any others?
Yeah, the temple does have to be rebuilt.
Okay, what else? Anything else?
You'll learn how to use his computer.
Great.
That shouldn't be mandatory.
Any thoughts? What else? Mike? Come on, you check.
People need to get saved. The right people need to get saved.
Well, yeah, that's actually one of the points I had.
Yeah, when the last person has to be brought in. Right?
That's the only thing that needs to be done, is the last person has to be saved. Time done. See it.
But there won't be the last person being saved. There'll be lots of sinners.
The last of the church, the bride. That'll be the last one.
Wow.
That's it. So, the minute that happens, the second that happens, I believe the rapture happens. There's nothing that really has to happen before that. The global currency and all that happens after, I think, the first 3.5 years. That's after the three nations and then ultimately 10 nations and one dictator. That happens during that period. And so that's after the rapture happens, as we get the currencies, we get the initially three nations, then 10 nations come together, and then there's one dictator. So that happens after. But as far as the rapture, the only thing that has to happen is the last person. Mm-hmm. Once that's it, we're out of here. So at the end of the let me get down here. At the end of the rapture, we have what? The second coming? And oops, what happens there? Sorry. This is kind of tough getting around all the notes here. We're working on two different computers here. Sorry about that. What happens between the rapture and the second coming? This is what he did. I don't have it on the slides, but I thought it was interesting. He goes through it a lot in here, and that's an interesting period, the tribulation. What happens during that time? We kind of went over a few of those things.
3.5 years of absolute chaos.
When? Beginning or end?
Beginning.
Chaos at the beginning?
No. The end. You gotta have 3.5 years to get that leadership in place.
Exactly. There'll be 3.5, you know, out of the upheaval of all, think of what happens. All the Christians are gone. You know, what happens at that point? There are millions and millions of people gone. What does the world think at that point?
Hallelujah.
I think to some degree you're right. Uh-huh. You know, it's, you know, they're gone, this influence. You know, the light is not shining on the darkness. I think
this
there
is true. It says they seek the darkness.
They seek the darkness. And so I think there's going to be a bunch of that. There's going to be an upheaval, you know, out of the upheaval of all the Christians disappearing. Three nations originally, and then 10 nations will be formed, and they'll have one leader at the end of that. There'll be 3.5 years of peace with the leader setting up a covenant with Israel. And you can look at that in Daniel 9:27. I'll read that, 9:26 and 27. Then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will cut off and have nothing. The people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and sanctuary. And its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he'll put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction. One that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Again, this is with the Antichrist, and the 3.5 years, he breaks the covenant, and that's when the chaos happens, is when that happens. So after 3.5 years of peace, the great tribulation will begin. There'll be persecution for Israel and all that follow Christ. God will pour out judgments upon the earth, and to the end of the 3.5 years, tribulation will be horrific, but at the end they'll have what? Armageddon. And what is Armageddon? That's one of place where that's actually Harmageddon, but we...
It's like hell.
It's Harmageddon, I think, is the actual name. What?
Isn't it like hell?
You know, it's going to be so much destruction that the blood will rise in the valley of Harmageddon. You know, there'll be so much death and destruction that the blood will be, you know, rising. And I forget I can't remember the scripture that says how far.
The bridle of horses or something.
What's that?
The bridle of horses or
yeah.
Something.
Okay, so that's through that tribulation period. So that's what happens between our going to be with him and our coming back. I am happy that we're at that position. Not a pre-trib, a post-trib, you know, anything like that. And we went through a lot of those verses last time that says we are going to avoid the condemnation, the wrath. We are not, the church is not meant to be under wrath. So we're not going to be in that period. We're gone. We go up, we're transformed in a twinkling of an eye, we're with him during the tribulation period, and we'll return in our new bodies at the end of the tribulation time to begin the millennial kingdom. Okay? Yeah.
Point of clarification, you just said we're not pre-tribe. We are not mid-tribe or end-tribe. We are pre-tribe.
Did I say, sorry, we are pre-trib, yes. Not mid-trib, not pre-wrath, not post-trib. We are pre-trib. Sorry if I mess that up here. All right, if you look at Revelation 16, 13 through 16, you also see what happens at Armageddon. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked, and man will not see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Har Mageddon. And then also you can look at Matthew 24, 21 through 22, where it says, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days have been cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. At the height of the great war, the tribulation saints will be rescued. Okay, and you can see that in Daniel 12, 1 through 2. Now, at that time, Michael, the great prince who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until that time. And at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book, will be rescued. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. That's what's happening during the time we're not here. So, you know, a lot is going on. We're not part of that. And again, praise be to God for that. Okay, so after the tribulation, Christ returns physically to the earth. And we, somebody want to read Zechariah 14, 1 through 4. That's one of the prime ones. This one here. His return will be physical to the earth.
You said 14:1.
Yeah, one. It started in 1. I just like context.
Yes, sure. Behold, the day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half the city exiled. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fights on the day of battle. In that day his feet will stand in the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem, on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half the mountains will move toward the north and the other half toward the south.
So, he will stand. And what happens? The Mount of Olives is split. Where did he ascend from?
Mount of Olives.
Mount of Olives. Remember the things, and we'll go through some of those verses. Why do you look? He will come back just as he did as he ascended. Same, Mount of Olives. He'll come back, but this time he touches down. Not in the rapture where we meet him in the clouds. He physically touches down, and the it says that the Mount of Olives will be split in the middle from east to west. And then he will take his last stand on earth. Look at Job 19:25. Says, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will take his stand on the earth. Okay, so as opposed to the rapture and the second coming, he makes a physical presence here on the earth. Okay? Remember we said also too, last week we discussed, was a rapture ever spoken of in the New Testament? In the Old Testament? No, never was. Which is, you know, again, kind of interesting. Ingrid and I were talking about that this morning at breakfast, actually. How the mystery and all about the rapture is covered in the New Testament. That's about us. That's about the church. It was covered only in the New Testament and not in the Old Testament. There's lots about the second coming in both the Old and New Testament. But the rapture was only spoken of in the New Testament. Okay. Alright. His return on the clouds of heaven. Somebody want to read Acts 9, 1, 9 through 11? Acts 1, 9 through 11.
Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.
So, just as he ascended from the earth, he will return to the earth. Revelation 1:7, I'll read that one. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Okay? Daniel 7:13. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, like a son of man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him. So again, the thought, and behold, with the clouds. He's coming, his return on the clouds of heaven, coming back before he stands on the ground. Okay, I'm getting, actually there'll be one of the ones I talk about later about. In the rapture, does everybody see and hear him? No? Yes?
No, just
do they see him?
Just believers.
Any others? The rapture? Do we all see him? Do we all hear the trumpet?
If he said it, it must be so.
Yeah, just believe
it. I thought everybody was to see him, even the ones that didn't believe, because then they would be so in awe and said, you know, wish I should have had a V8.
We're talking about the rapture, right?
This is a rapture.
No.
No, only the believers hear the call and the trumpet and see him. Now, on the okay.
No, it's okay.
No, and no. In fact, I think what Bruce was saying at the beginning of this, they're almost, I think, going to celebrate that we're gone. You know, that we are gone. That light in the darkness is now going to be gone. You know, there'll be chaos for a little bit. You know, what happened? There's going to be, I'm sure, you know, like I said, two Christian pilots flying in a plane. There're going to be a few of those little events, or driving down the highway and lots of cars that are minus drivers and things. I mean, there's going to be some chaos at the beginning of this thing. But this will now be and what it says in the first 3.5 years is going to be peace. This 10 nations will come together. We'll have one glorious dictator or leader who will be over the 10 nations. We'll have this global currency. We'll have all this wonder and this covenant with Israel for 7 years that's broken in the middle of it. So at the beginning of it, it's going to be peace. But going back to, so only believers see him at the rapture. But on the return, what happens? Do only those saints, the tribulation saints, or actually they were removed right before the end. Does everybody see him at that point? Everybody sees him. It's kind of an interesting deal. When you read Schaefer's thing in there, he says that this is kind of what an engineer would do. This is the engineer. He says, you know, when he comes back, he's going to come back with myriads of armies and all that. He says that doesn't happen in an instant. This is going to be this progression of armies coming down. It could take a significant amount of time for all the believers, all the saints who return with him coming down. I don't know his basis for that other than physics, you know. But if we have the same body and all that, I was thinking, the Lord is appearing like that. I don't know either.
That's why I asked the question.
Yeah.
How's everybody going to see us? So Schaefer's answer is that this will be a long parade.
Yeah.
By the time you get 24 hours done, everybody in the earth will see it.
Because it's a rotation. Yeah, that was the other thing. That's right. That's right. Because he says, you know, it's going to take like 24 hours. You know, or something, so it's like one full rotation of the earth, or, you know, that everybody will see this progression out of the clouds of all the saints, so everybody will see him. I think that's pure speculation. I didn't see anything with him. I think it's going to be quick. As the shout, the trumpet, be counter, you know, he'll come and put his foot on the earth. We're right there. And everybody, you know, that's the other thing. Will everybody know us? As saints, because we have the the uniform, right? The outfit. We're the army of the Lord. We have a little sticker on our shirt. How do they know us?
How will they know us? Maybe because we all appear differently.
Appear differently.
Little ghosts flying around.
You mean with kids?
No, but I mean, it's the wrong term, but you know what I'm saying. We might have a different look.
We will have a different, we'll have our glorified bodies at that point. They'll know us by just sight.
Which will be different from theirs.
Yeah. I mean, they will know us just by, you know, I mean, that's one thing. And it's more speculation. I don't think there's, like, you know, there isn't really a verse that says that. They just know we'll rule and reign, they'll know us, but. I don't think there isn't really a verse that says that. It's just
that we rule and reign.
We rule and reign. But I mean, as far as knowing us, as far as by sight or by, you know, whether we have, you know, just from the transformed bodies, you know, whether there's that's how they'll see us is transformed. Do you know of anything that really?
Thessalonians, maybe.
The 14.
Keep going.
Yeah, I can't remember if there's anything that really says that they see us by our bodies, but that there's something that they know that we are. You know, we are to rule and reign with him.
Yeah. Earlier, when you'd asked the question about one of your questions, it seems that, like, just say that all of us were witnessing with someone, which we always are, and those people, we've been telling about the rapture, we've been telling about all that stuff, and all of a sudden, all these Christians were gone. I'm thinking some of those might end up being the ones who believe during that tribute during that 7 years.
Yep.
And it says that he ends it because for the sake of the elect.
Right.
So they are they also part of the church?
No, I think they're in the same category as the Old Testament saints.
Yeah.
They aren't part of the body. Because the body is at the end of the tribulation, or I mean the beginning of the tribulation, at the rapture, that's the last one added to the body. Or the bride, the church. That's the end of the church age. So at that point, you know, others are going to be resurrected, your tribulation saints.
Yeah.
But they're not part of the bride of Christ. Yeah. So it's a, you know, and Monique's got that nervous look. It's the fairness doctrine. You know, it's not fair. It's not, they suffered, they martyred, they're all this. But it's different. It'll be a different, and it, you know, it's like there's angels. If there's angels and there's us. Mm-hmm. You know, there are different entities, and there will be, as Old Testament saints, different than what we are. The beauty of that is so amazing. What we have His very life. We're placed in Him. All those things
right.
that the other saints don't have.
Because Christ wasn't there then.
Right. Well, yeah, at the time.
Right.
Yeah, he had not ascended.
So that's the reason why there's a difference.
Yeah, there wasn't Christ coming, dying sacrificially. You know, going back to that first slide,
right.
The substitutionary death, the resurrection, the payment accepted by God. Mm-hmm. It wasn't available at that time.
So what I was wondering is, it said that their names were written in the book of life, the post-rapture believers, and all our names are in the book of life. I'm the one of the elect. They're the elect. That's where I'm just trying to figure out the difference, you know. Another mystery for me.
All right. So, somebody want to read Matthew 24? Let's go 27 through 31.
Which chapter?
Or, no, yeah, 24.
As the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the heavens. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. How far do you want me to go?
31.
Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
So, his return is in power and great glory. As you know, as opposed to the rapture, which we have the shout, the trumpet, and we're gone. Look what happens now, and you can see on the screen. After that, it's after the tribulation, all the carcasses and all the stuff, and then the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. Stars will fall from the sky. Think what you're looking at. You know, if you're here and you're looking at this, the sun is darkened. Moon doesn't shine. Stars falling from heaven. Okay, all that's going on, and then the sign of the Son of the Man, and all the people of earth will mourn. Okay, I think at this point, I mean, this is at the end of Armageddon. Everything has been slaughtered. The only reason there isn't total annihilation is the Lord comes, takes his saints out, resurrect, or as the tribulation saints out, and stops the wrath. Okay, all the people of that will see the Son of Man. Okay, this is again the difference between the rapture now is all the people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds. All the people, everybody who's on earth will see them at this point. See him. You know, I think of that too. You know, how does he do that? He may just project himself all around the world at one point. I mean, he could do whatever. I mean, I don't know. But everyone will see him. He'll see him with great power and great glory. Christ will send forth his angels with great trumpets. His angels will gather together his elect from the four winds. So that's where the tribulation saints are pulled out. And then he sets foot. Mount of Olives splits apart, and he starts the millennial kingdom, the 1,000 years. Okay? Then you look at 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8, where it says, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. So that's what's transpiring at that point. So, does this sound like the rapture? No, it's completely different. That's the whole point of these two things. They're trying to point the difference between the rapture and the second coming. They're completely two different events. Completely different in what happens, how it happens, things that have to occur. Because the tribulation's all got to occur before he comes back. So those are things that have to happen. That's why I asked at the beginning, what happens at the rapture? What has to happen at the rapture? Nothing, except the last saint. Okay? All right. I'm going to the next one here. The church returns with Christ at his second coming. We'll kind of speed up on some of these. This is, as opposed to the rapture where we leave the earth, the second coming is when we come back. Zechariah 14:5. You'll flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee, just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. Then the Lord my God will come, and all the holy ones with him. Okay? Who are the holy ones?
Us.
That's us. Jude 14 and 15, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones. If you look at that, it was also about these men that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against. Again, is that us ruling and reigning? Is that what happens? Yes.
The answer is yes.
we're ruling and reigning at that point. Mm-hmm. What is this verse? We can go on to it. Let me try to get on so we can get through a little bit of this here. You can also see in Revelation, or 1 Thessalonians 3:13, at the coming of the Lord with his saints. Also in Revelation 19:14, the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, were following him. Those are all saying that they're evidence or verses that say we will come. We will come with him at his second coming. Again, you can see also the return is seen both in the Old and New Testament. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of His Father with His angels. That's spoken of in Matthew 16 and 27. And then in the Old Testament, with the clouds of heaven, like the Son of Man was coming, to Him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom. All peoples, all nations might serve Him. Again, so you have Old and New Testament talking about the second coming, but no mention of the rapture. Again, this is the summary of probably what is in the last couple pages of his chapter about the differences between the rapture and his second coming. I think it's good to study these things and just make sure you understand when verses talk about one or the other that you don't confuse them. So it's good to look through these verses, and I again draw it to the last two pages of chapter 13. Look at the last two pages, and it does a really good job. It's basically what's on this slide, which goes over all the verses that show the differences between the two. So, any final questions before we stop? I'm sorry we got late with the technical issues here. Again, some of these things, just what we looked at.
The only thing is, when it says that even those who pierced Him will see Him,
what's that?
It said even those who pierced Him will see
Him. Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking they're dead.
Yeah.
Adamic. Adam. If they are identified with Adam,
yeah.
Are they the one, are we in Adam? If we were the only ones there, would we have pierced Him?
If we reject Him, we are piercing Him.
We have. But I believe that is not the physical people who pierced Him.
Oh, yeah.
It is the Adamic race. I don't know, Mike, I take that to be that it's not the people who physically pierced Him, but it is the Adamic race that pierced Him.
Right.
Yeah, no, when I read that, it was like, yeah, but then I thought, no, it's not, I don't believe it's them that they see Him. It's
right.
The Adamic race who pierced Him and put Him up on the cross.
It makes more sense.
Yeah.
I mean, these, 13 guys, whatever.
Yeah. All right, let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time. Thanks again, Father, just for Your word. We thank You as we look into Your word about the rapture and the second coming, two events that deal specifically with us, those who believe in You and have life in Your Son. As we understand that the rapture, we will be brought up to meet You in the clouds. We will be removed from here and transformed in the twinkling of an eye. And then at Your second coming, we will come back with You to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And Father, we thank You that we are removed from the tribulation period. And Father, we just thank You for how much grace You bestow upon us, what love, mercy, all Your attributes bestowed upon us. We thank You above all for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the price for us and is the one who is our very life right now. Father, we thank You again for all these gifts to us, the grace to us. And Father, we just pray in advance for Vern upstairs, just to speak mightily through him and prepare hearts to receive that word. So, Father, we do all these things in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Mm-hmm.